I'm going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 4, and the theme kind of running through this month on Wednesday night is truth is loving, and a few different concepts, and tonight speaking truth to one another. All I can say is I'm glad I'm going early in the month because I'll hit everything everybody else is going to talk about this month. Ephesians chapter 4, I love this section. Identified here and say this is a section of contrast and consideration. I can't look at all of these verses, but really here an idea or concept of actively striving to live differently than I did before. I know how I lived in the world. I know how I lived when I was outside of Christ, and I'm trying to be a better person. A conscientious attitude here of choosing to walk now in the light. And I think you bear that out in Ephesians 4 in verse 17 through 22. I'm no longer walking as I have been before. There is an old man, and certainly tie in with this Colossians 3 for your reference later. There's an idea there, mortify, put to death, put off. There's things that we need to remove from ourselves, and then there's good that I've got to add. Put on is the continued refrain there. And so there, I'm no longer walking as I was before, but now I'm as a new man walking in righteousness and holiness in Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24. And so when I recognize that contrast and I'm striving to live that way, he exhorts us in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, the verse for tonight. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is going to involve not just simply putting off lying, certainly there's an aspect of that, but also going forward, speaking truth with one another. I see here a few points we'll try to hit quickly. There's an emphasis on godliness. It's the whole basis for how you're striving to live. In verse 24, notice there, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here's God, the one who cannot lie in Titus 1, 2. I'm supposed to be more and more like him. I'm supposed to be growing in that attitude. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be followers of God as dear children. I want to be like him. I want to be following more and more with him as a partaker of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Striving to be like him, more and more like his character, more and more like his nature. That same chapter in 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16, I'm as obedient children. How then am I going to live? Be ye holy, even as he is holy. I'm living like him. And so it's an emphasis, a focus here on living a godly life. But then also see an emphasis on truth. I'm speaking that which is right and good. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. That ought to be what I'm known as a Christian. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a person of my word. You could talk about the context, but Matthew 5, verse 37, let your yes be yes, your yea or nay be nay, your no be no. Whatsoever more of these cometh of the evil one. This concept there, they were focused on what they made their swearing or their promise or their oath on. Just be a person that's taken at their word. Be truthful. We see that again in James chapter 5 and verse 12. We ought to be a people of truth. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. That which you say, let it be counted on. Here's a person even that we might consider of the psalmist. And I lost that reference, but Psalm 15, I believe, that the concept there that I will swear to my own hurt, that I'm going to speak and I'm going to keep it, even if that ends up costing me. I'm still going to do that which I said I would. And so be active, actively consistent in considering your words. Think about James 2 and verse 12. So speak and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. I'm considering the things that I speak. I'm considering the things that I'm doing, understanding I will come under judgment for the actions of my life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. So is my speech honest and true? I think about Ananias and Sapphira. One of the first sins committed in the church is recorded for us there in Acts chapter 5. They lied unto God concerning the purchase or the sale price of their land. They wanted, it seems to me, the notoriety. And that put fear within the church. Here's God that knows all things. You speak truth. You be a person of your word. Think about Paul, the great example he set. Again, quick reference, but 2 Corinthians 1, verse 17 and 18. When I was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is true, our word to you is not yes and no. I'm not a double-spoken person. I'm not a double-tongued person. When I said I'm coming to you, I had every intention, and I still have every intention to come to you. Paul was one who was going to keep his word. And he turns around and he reminds us again, that's God. In the very next two verses, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19 and 20, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, and Titus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Psalm 15:4, there's where my reference was hidden. But what's he saying about God? He says, when Jesus came into the world, there's your confirmation that everything that God said, everything that he promised, he's going to keep his word. And when you look at Jesus, he is the culmination there of those great promises. And you can trust, you can rely that he's going to keep his word. And so an emphasis on truth. Am I ensuring that the things that I'm speaking unto others are true? Am I watching my speech and my language to not only be speaking the truth of God's word, but just making sure the things that I speak are right? The things that I speak, I'm going to follow through on, that I am speaking truth unto others. Emphasis on godliness, an emphasis on truth, but then also an emphasis on unity. Why do you do this? Verse 25, for we are members one of another. Consider as you go back in this context into verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, we're working together. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body's growing together. When we're speaking truth one to another and we're helping one another grow, now it's not a focus on me. What helps us all? Not what's going to help me succeed individually, what's going to make me look good, what's going to help us all. And that's going to be speaking forth truth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Nothing done through strife or vainglory, not for myself, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're considering one another. I want to be spoken truth to. You want to be spoken truth to. And so watch those things that we're saying. And finally, there's an emphasis there on love. We do it because of love. I love God. I'm going to speak the truth. I love the truth. Therefore, I'm going to speak the truth. We love one another. Therefore, we're going to speak truth one to another. I love the concept of love, that agape love. It's the seeking of another's best interest. I'm always reminded, what is the peak, the pinnacle of another's best interest? It's what's going to help them spiritually, what's going to lead them to eternal life. And so I want to speak forth truth to help others. And so love, it's the material, it is the motive, and it is the method. The what, the why, the how of my speech. I want to speak what? I want to speak truth. I want to speak in truth, that method. I'm speaking that truth forth in love in a compassionate way to help you be the best that you can be. And it's my very motive. It's what drives me, what motivates me. It's because I love. I love you. I love the truth. I love God. And so we're watching that which we say and speak truth one to another. And so the challenge, the charge, as we look there in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of another. Are we a people that speak truth to one another? That's the challenge that comes to us, not just today, but it ought to be a challenge to us every day. Am I actively considering my speech to make it what it ought to be and use it to the edifying, the building up of God's body? That's a great challenge to us each and every day, to watch the things that we say and how that we are speaking. And tonight we extend the Lord's invitation. Certainly there are always those present that we hope you'll consider your spiritual state. Think about whether you're in Christ or not. Certainly the greatest thing we can do is spread the truth of God's Word and that hope that we can have in Christ. And so having heard the Word of God, we believe it. We repent of our sins. We confess that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Just as so many did in the first century, we read those records in the book of Acts and we see that same joy that they had, we can enjoy as well. Hopefully it's a challenge to us to see the way in which we ought to then continue living. And sometimes we have to pause and say, I've not been doing that which I need to be, and it's time to get back on track. I know you have a family here that will surround you, encourage you, lift you up before the Father's throne. Perhaps there's a need you'd like to bring before this great family. We'd help you with tonight. And hopefully all of us can go forth considering, am I speaking forth truth one to another in true love? That's the charge that comes to us tonight. If we could help you with it, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand as we sing.